Isn't that beautiful?
It's hard
to say something better than that. Jesus, my Lord, I thee adore. I want to just say to this community, thank you very much for caring for Lil and myself. We haven't quite been here a year, but we've certainly felt your support, and we're very grateful. Your food, your visits, being people that we could talk to, we're just very grateful. Let me assure you that it's easier to give to people than it is to receive, though. But I just want to be grateful, say thank you. This morning I want to talk a little bit about fear. I want to ask a few questions and then have you think about fear. I want to ask the question, what and who do I fear? I'm assuming that the things that I fear might very well be similar to the things that you fear. And then what does fear do to me? And so what do I do with the fear that I identify? I feel fear of doing things that I've never done before. I'm trying to remodel a house. I don't consider myself a carpenter. But fear of doing things I've never done before. Somehow I believed that if I mess up, if I make a mistake, that it says something about me. But failure is one of the ways that we learn. A child that's learning to walk has to fall down repeatedly. And if the child says, I can't do this, it's too bad. Then there's the fear of failure and believing that failure indicates something about my essence. Do you remember the story about Thomas Edison? They say that it was almost 10,000 times that he tried one thing and then something else and something else until he came up with what worked to make the light bulb. You can say, I failed 10,000 times, or you can say, I now know 10,000 things that don't work, and I'm getting closer to finding the answer. You learn by doing. You learn by failing and by keeping on. That's the only way to discover the treasures that are inside of you, when you just say, there has to be a better way, I'm going to keep trying. Then there's the fear of making a wrong decision, saying, maybe I made a wrong decision, or maybe the fear that says, I think I made a wrong decision. That's me. 2016 was a really rough year. I have a good heart, I wanted to do what's right, but I don't really know for sure that I did the right thing. You know, it's a good idea to wait until you have all the answers and know what's right. But if you have to make decisions, sometimes you just do the best you can, and then you wonder, did I do the right thing? Lil and I used to say, we have this deep, subtle confidence that in all the major turns in our life that we made right choices. That was a good feeling. But what happens if you're not sure that you made right choices? Then what? I want to give you the assurance that one failure, if you make a failure, that doesn't disqualify you. Maybe months or a year or two from now, I'll know that I did the right thing, the counterintuitive thing, that we did the right thing. But even if I come to a point of saying, you know, I'm not sure that I did the right thing, God is big enough to help us recover from that, and it doesn't have to be a permanent being disqualified. Fear of what other people think about me. That's a big one. That's what drives fashion. It's interesting to watch glasses. Glasses change. That's all I need to say. I see your smiles. Because glasses change. And what was in style 20 years ago is coming back. Proverbs 29 says, "The fear of man lays a snare, but whoso trusts in the Lord is safe." Psalm 56:11 says, "In God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me?" Then there's the fear of personal safety or even death. Matthew 10:28 says, "And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell." Revelation 12:11, "And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and for they loved not their lives even unto death." Our enemy, we know from Revelation and what's already happening, that our enemy is going to try to use incredible pressure to make people comply. And if you're willing to give in and to do whatever has to happen to stay alive, he has power. But when we, the people of God, say, obeying God is first, and whether I live, well, that's for God to decide. We're free. I want to just tell you a story. You may know this story, and you may not know this story. It happened either in the First World War or the Second World War. I'm not quite sure. There was about 10 men, 10 Anabaptist men who were, they were trying to force them to become soldiers. And they said, "No, we can't do this." And the pressure was building, until finally they took these 10 men to a place and said, "We are going to kill you if you don't comply." And they said, "We can't do this." And so they took the first one out. There was 10 graves, 10 holes in the ground. And they put him in front of the grave and they said, "What are you going to do?" And he says, I can't do this." And so they shot in the air and they took him to another place and brought the second one out. Oh, what I failed to tell you is that they covered one grave. So how would it feel for you? You're the second person out. There's the men with the firing squad, and you heard the gunshots. There's one hole that's covered up. You assume it's your buddy, and they put you in front of the second one, and they say, "What's your decision?" If you have fear of death, your enemy has control over you. But if you, like Revelation 12:11, can say, "You know, there's things that are more important than life. I'm a follower of Jesus. I will do things his way." then your enemy doesn't have control over you. And the good thing about the story is that all 10 men said, "I can't do this." They shot in the air and took the person over to his friends who were still alive. Only then did he know that it was a trick. But that's the kind of thing that we need. Then there's the fear of not being good enough to please God. Fear that God will reject me. Fear that I haven't done enough. I just remind you of 1 John 3:20. "For whenever our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts, and he knows all things." I am so glad that I can turn to God and just know that God knows my heart, even when I mess up. So what does fear do to me? Fear causes me to lose focus of God. Fear makes me doubt God and his promises. Fear makes me assume that what I can see, hear, feel, and touch is all that there is. And that's tempting because, you know, this is real. But 2 Corinthians 4 says, the things you can see don't last. And the things that you can't see are the things that are eternal. Fear comes from taking a now-only perspective. The recruits, the people who were trying to force to be soldiers, were able to think You know, it's not just about life, it's about eternity. Fear believes that I'm all alone. And being all alone is one of the most scary things there is. But when you know that Jesus is with you, that changes everything. Matthew 28 says, Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." He said it to his disciples, but it's true for you today. If you're a child of God, he walks with you, he's in you, and just knowing this big, tough thing that I have ahead of me, Jesus is with me. Fear typically takes the easy way out. You know, it was a turn of the road when I understood that typically choices are easy now, hard later, or hard now, easy later. That's the way life is. Fear is a result of the data that you choose to pay attention to. Think about the Israelite soldiers who were trembling in front of Goliath. And then think about David. They were seeing the same things, but they had a different perspective. David was upset because this man was defying his God. Fear can cause panic and it can paralyze you. So what do I do if I, what do I do? What should you do if you are picking up on some fears? You're thinking about fears. Maybe I've touched some trigger points for you. Well, I can be real. I can be honest. I don't have to avoid facing it. I can think through my options. One of the things that I ask myself when I'm scared to do something is, will I feel, at the end of my life, will I feel better having tried and not succeeded perfectly, or just having taken the easy way out and not tried? That helps me a lot, because I think, you know, I would rather try and maybe I'll be successful, maybe I won't. But I think I'll feel better if I try. Remember that failure in one area of your life doesn't mean that you're a total failure. You can get up. Sometimes you're in the dark and you just feel like this will never end. Galatians 6:9 says, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap, if we don't give up." 1 Corinthians 15:58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." And remember what God has done for you in the past. And if you don't have history yet, then remember the Bible stories. Lil and I are reading through the book of Esther, and it's just incredible. I've read this story how many times? I don't know. But just seeing how God orchestrated events long before there was a Haman that was trying to do things, God was there and he was getting things ready. And if you're fearful, rehearse the truths that you tend to forget. And expect your faith to be tried. I don't know why. I wish it wasn't like this. But God typically doesn't answer until the priests are ready to put their foot into the Jordan River. God doesn't answer 50 yards back. You have to get to the place where you are, God, here I go. I don't know if I'm going to swim or not. That's where God meets you. And that's what God did with Abraham and Isaac. It was not until he had his knife raised and in his mind Isaac was already dead. That's when God stopped him. That's just the way God does things, so that you know where your heart is. And if you can hang on to God, God will give you not only Bible stories, but stories in your own life where you face the really hard times, and you can look to the future with confidence and say, you know, I don't know what's going to happen next, but I know that Jesus will go with me, and that there will be a way out, and that I'll somehow come out on the other side. That's what God wants for you. Can we pray together? Shall we kneel?
Heavenly Father, we've talked about fears. We've talked about the things that we as human, finite humans, just don't know what to do next. And how that we tend to panic. We tend to be locked up. But Lord, help us to remember the truths of your word. Help us to go to scripture, the stories that are there, if we don't have our own stories. But I pray too that we'll come to the place where we'll be able to look back at our own history and how you've walked with us so that we can have faith and so that we can confidently look at what's going to happen. The future's unknown, but we can know that you will walk with us and that you don't just act in the Bible, that you act today and that we can trust you. I pray that you will give us that kind of a faith conquering fear that gives us peace and confidence in difficult times. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.